really understand sometimes what a terrible burden it is to know some of the things that I know. To try to wake people up and impart this knowledge to them. And find out that they just have walls built in front of them. They want to be slaves.
Now I risk sounding like a conspiracy theorist, but it's no longer a theory. What I'm about to say is fact. The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret. They have planned and are now leading us into a one-world communist government.
Today we have November 5th, 2018. And we are gathered, Daniel and I, and we have a guest who is Max Eigen. Hello, Max.
Hello, brother. Nice to be on your show. Thanks for asking me on.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. I have listened to a lot of your podcasts, and I think you have a lot of great things to say about the development of the society and what we have ahead of us. But first, I would like you to present yourself a bit. I don't think our listeners know exactly who you are and what you are doing.
Well, I'm a radio host. I've been a musician for most of my life, so I've always kind of lived on the outside of society. So I've managed to sort of be awake for most of my life since my early childhood. I've been aware that the system was very corrupt and something was terribly wrong. So I kind of found a way to live on the outside of it, you know, playing guitar and traveling around the world. And then I got to the point, like with 9/11, when 9/11 happened, like with so many people, you know, things got serious, and I decided that it was time to put all my knowledge to some useful purpose and start speaking out and trying to bring a message to people to wake the world up to the fact of where we're heading. We're heading into a global police state, worldwide police state, that it's going to affect everybody. And, yeah, I just decided it was time to put all the musicianship down and put all the other stuff down and actually pay attention to the hobby that I'd had. I mean, research was a hobby for many years because, you know, you're kind of living on the outside of society, wondering why it's all so corrupt and researching it just, you know, something to do. And then you realize just how serious it is. I mean, when they killed 3,000 people on 9/11, you realize just how serious all this is. And so I started speaking out and became an activist, and I've been pretty well working full time as an activist for the last 10 years.
So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we come from a truth seeking arena, and we developed from Simon Scheck's work, and he have a great movie called September Clues, and from that we have seen that most of the media pictures and video clips from that day are manipulated in some kind of way. Have you been looking at the 9/11 event from that kind of angle, that it might have not appeared as you've seen it on the television screen?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of Simon Shack's work has been quite remarkable in September Clues. I mean, obviously the video has been pasted together. Obviously all the angles are wrong. There's so many things wrong with the official footage that we're seeing. And even the way the towers collapsed, I mean, there's so much wrong with the official story. The problem I find with even all of these sorts of arguments is people get tied up in details. People argue about it. Were there planes? Were there no planes? Was there thermite? Was there no thermite? Was it this? Was it that? All we really know is that it was not 19 hijackers, and it was not the way the official story said. And I think we should maintain that focus and realize that the whole thing's been a scam. They planned it in order to launch their war of terror. How they did it, we will find out once we've established freedom. But all credit to Simon's work. I mean, I think he did some great stuff. I think that 9/11 is, I mean, it's so obvious that it was staged. It's so obvious that it was not the way the official line told us. I thought it would have woken people up. You know, that year when it happened, I thought everybody would have seen it. But it didn't. It just, the war on terror has continued. It's escalated. A lot of people have forgotten about 9/11. But really, it's the linchpin. It's the whole thing that's moved the world into the state that it is today. It all pivots on the 9/11 attacks. So yeah, it's a remarkably important issue and something people should look into. And it still needs to be investigated. People who say it's old news are really, really dumb. They're not together at all, because I mean, everything in the world today is based on that event. So it will never be old news, not until it's properly investigated.
Yeah. But one thing that Simon says in his conclusion is that no people died in the event. What do you think about that angle? Since all the pictures and so are staged, so why not come to the conclusion that no one died, and there are many actors in front of the television screen moaning for their lost relatives?
Well, it could be. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. I wouldn't put it past them to be able to stage anything. I don't know. I'm not going to say that is or that isn't. Again, it's one of those things you can get stuck in and start arguing about. And like I said, all we really know is it is not the way the official story told us. And so, you know, all of these debates, you're just going to find that there'll be people who will tell you you're an idiot for even saying that. Then there'll be other people who tell you you're an idiot because you think they were victims. And that's the way it goes. It's like the round earth, flat earth debate. You can't win any of these debates. You just tie yourself up in infighting, and we don't get the job done. The prison state continues to roll out. The surveillance state continues to roll out. So, you know, a lot of these things are details that we may never know. And unless we can establish freedom, if we can establish enough freedom, perhaps there are records somewhere which will tell the real story, and we'll be able to find out what the truth was.
Yeah, my best guess is that they do have records of these things, but obviously it's impossible to prove. I'm not going to get involved in a debate either. I would just like to remind the listeners of Hoi Polloi's work as well with 9/11, the victims report, and also the calls to the Social Security and the statistics where they try to see if anybody really died on 9/11. It seems that in New Jersey it dies about 800 people a day, and in New York 1,200 people a day. And it was the same on that day. So there was no difference in the statistics. They never went up by 2,000 or 3,000 in either state. So that seems to be a strong indicator, but I'm not going to go into it any more than that. Same thing with Earth. Yeah, go ahead.
These things are true, and it's the same as Sandy Hook. If you look at Sandy Hook, there's no murders reported on that
right.
day. I think in that month there isn't even any murders reported. So
right.
it's the same totally thing. Agree. You look at the statistics, and they don't add up. But again, these are things you can just sit there, and we'll sit there and argue about this around the kitchen table for the next 5 years while the 5G prison grids roll out over the top
right,
of us.
Right.
You know? That's the problem.
Yeah, I agree with it. And also, a parenthesis is that supposedly somebody looked up in Sandy Hook how they had, bought people their houses basically, so they had no mortgage left, and that was done on Christmas Day or something like that. Somebody made a great research video on that. And it's a day that doesn't even have bank transactions. Supposedly they may have bought off some witnesses in the area so that they got their houses for free, basically. But they might have been Masons as well. I have no idea. I'm just speculating. As far as flat Earth is concerned, I can't put it together. It doesn't work for me at all. I just want to remind our listeners of that, because we feel that flat Earth is a psyop for numerous reasons, and also for Simon Schacht's research around the Tycosium. One of the points that I always thought of when I heard of flat Earth is that people in the northern hemisphere, they can watch the Polaris, the northern star, the northern hemisphere. And in the south, in Australia, you can watch the Southern Cross. And so there's no flat Earth model that can explain that. But there's also numerous other phenomena that flat Earth cannot explain. So hence, Earth cannot be flat. But I do agree with you that there's more important questions, such as the question of money, the monetary system, and democracy that needs to be fixed, and the media needs to be taken back so that people can live in a more free society than they do today.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're living in a prison. We're living in a system of people farming. It's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you think this realm is, it's a prison. And until we establish freedom, you're never going to get anywhere. You can argue about who runs it. You can argue about what shape it is. You can argue about the details of whatever crimes they performed all you like. Mm-hmm. But that's why they do it that way, just to keep people arguing. So that you've got one idea and I've got another idea and we can go bullet the gate at each other and see who comes out on top. And meanwhile, the prison system's still rolling out on top. The whole thing is about divide and conquer. That's why they do all these things this way. And they make things so obvious and they put all these different clues there. All the people arguing about 9/11, whether it was directed energy weapons or whether it was thermite or whether it was explosions, it was probably all of them just to keep you all arguing. You know, it's perfect. I mean, that's the way they do it, and that's the way they do all these things. So, yeah, people need to look at it and stop trying to argue over the details and realize that we don't know the finer details of anything. You know, all the people who say, oh, you're saying 9/11 was staged. Well, if it wasn't 19 hijackers, who was it? That's not even a valid question. We don't know who it was. What we know is who it wasn't. What we know is how it didn't happen, and that's what the official line is. It didn't happen that way. It's not possible. So obviously they're covering things up. I mean, that's the way people need to look at this stuff and stop arguing over details. I mean, we're in a pretty dangerous, precarious situation at the moment. This whole surveillance system that's being rolled out, the whole digital credit system, the social credit system, the surveillance system that's going with the digitization of cash, they can track every single thing you do, lock you out of any services they want to lock you out of once it's all digitized. This is a very, very dangerous situation that we're heading into. And not enough people are really paying attention to it because they're arguing about all these details of all these other grand conspiracies. Because they like it's romantic. It's a romantic sort of a story for them, you know. It's like an adventure novel for them. You know, and it's great. I mean, everyone likes all these. It's really fascinating. It's really, really interesting to look at all these things and find out all these hidden mysteries and all this stuff. But people have got to pay attention to the world that they're living in, what's going on around them, and realize that all these mysteries exist anyway because they're not free. So let's establish freedom. We have a real opportunity to do that now. For the first time that I can really find in the human experience, we have a real opportunity to establish freedom. So that's what I think the focus should be, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. How do you think, what would be the best way to do this? And I've been pondering this myself, and I obviously don't have the answer, but, would you want to ease people into the truth or,
look, I think they need a slap in the face. I mean, I've tried to ease them into the truth for the last 10 years. It's getting to the point that they need a glass of cold water thrown in their face. Yeah. And people need to stop complying with the system. Just stop complying. You ever see that film, The Green Beautiful, the French film that came out 10 years ago or so?
Unfortunately,
there was a part in the film where they all just threw their TV sets out the window and everyone just threw all their appliances away and threw all of their technology away. And there was a kind of a weird period where they went through kind of a year where everything was kind of weird, but then it all went back to normal. You know, just stop complying with it. Stop using credit cards. Stop using all of this technology. If you go to a shop that says you can't shop with cash, don't shop there. Encourage other people not to shop there. I mean, just stop complying with the system. Mm-hmm. Stop complying with your own slavery. That's the way out of it. We comply with our own slavery all the time. We don't have to do any of this stuff. We could ask why, and we could say no, but we don't. That's the problem. You know, people have been cowed into forgetting who and what they are and not standing up for themselves and just doing what they're told and rolling over on command. You know, the commands are coming faster and thicker and stronger, and the lines are getting more and more defined. And pretty soon you're not going to be able to do anything without asking permission to do it. You're going to have to ask permission to think the things you want to think. And that'll all be monitored anyway. Once they know you're thinking the wrong thing, they'll penalize you because you allow the technology to come into your life and control you this way. It's us that's doing it. The whole thing is us that's doing it. You know, we can blame the government all we want. But we're the ones who's doing it. We're the ones who are complying with the whole thing, and we don't have to.
Yeah, but do you really think we can do it as individuals? I think we have to organize in some way because this trend has been going on for a very long time now, and I can't see any stop of it. We are getting more and more dependent on more advanced technology, and now they are working on self-driving cars, so we can't even drive our own car anymore in the future. So how can we even get out of this prison when we are so dependent on advanced technology as we are now? How can we move out in the woods and take care of ourselves?
Well, it's not a matter of moving out in the woods. It's a matter of not using the technology. If they bring in self-driving cars, say no. So no, we don't want that. And by the way, who's the politician who's attempting to force this onto us? Because this is an abuse of the office that they hold. I'd like to press charges against that politician. Just start pushing back using their own law. If they bring in laws that say you're not, it's illegal for you to offend anyone, tell them that you're offended by that law. So now you're going to have to use the do not offend me laws to prosecute the government for introducing these laws because you're offended by them. You know, start throwing this shit back at them. Everything they do, throw it back at them. They're just people. They're just people. It doesn't matter what they write on paper. Say no. If you're writing that there, that's actually causing harm against my life. We have a legal system to prevent the causation of harm and to provide remedy when harm is caused. If it's the government that is now causing harm, then the government has now rendered itself invalid. Who the fuck are you people? That's what you need to say to them. You know, that's what everybody needs to say to them. And stand up and make it, lead by example in your community. I went to a council meeting a couple of weeks ago and I basically stood up and said this to the council members. The whole room got up and cheered. They'd never heard anyone say anything like that to the council members. The council, one of the women in the council almost started crying at what I'd said to her, you know. And you know, people have got to stand up for themselves. People just don't have any backbone anymore. They don't call up and deal with this as people would deal with it. You know, embrace the warrior spirit and get up and talk to these people to their face and tell them what they are and ask them to please explain themselves, because when you do, they back themselves into a corner. And you do that in front of enough people in the town and you inspire people. Now, that's how to do it. People have got to stand up for themselves and realize that we're just dealing with people. And I went to a one of those, what's it, Mark supermarket when I was in Holland, M-A-R-Q. It's a cash-free supermarket. I went in there as an Australian. I can't read Dutch. I don't know. I just walked in there, filled up a whole shopping trolley full of food, went to the checkout, let them check it all through, and then tried to pay with cash. And they said, no, we don't accept cash. And I said, oh, you're serious? But this is an organic, progressive supermarket. You're supporting a cash-free society. What are you doing? They're going to introduce 5G, and then you won't have any organic food because it'll all be subject to 5G radiation, blah, blah. I got a big rave on the checkout there and made them put all the, they had to take all the food back and put it all back on the shelves. And I told everybody in the line behind me why all this is bad, all this cashless stuff is bad, what 5G is going to be doing to their food, all this. I just only went into the supermarket just to create a scene so I could tell everybody in the supermarket what they're doing with this cashless system. I do that sort of stuff just to upset the apple cart, just to cause people to think a little bit outside the box. You know, that's how to do it, brother. You've got to get out there and make a difference and stand up for yourselves in your local community and throw this stuff back at these people, because they're just people. And not only that, they're your employees who represent you, who are supposed to be acting on your behalf. And if they're causing hardship in your life, they are in abuse of the office that they hold, and there are laws of which we can put against them to prevent that from happening. But we've got to have the backbone to stand up and do it. You know, we don't do it because we don't have the support of our community around us. But if you stand up and start leading by example and inspiring people around you, be a wonderful person to be around, be a helpful person to be around, people will start following suit. They'll start falling in behind. They'll start doing it and standing up for themselves. You know, I've found that people do. All you have to do is inspire them to do so.
Yeah, that's our aim with our podcast, to learn people how to think for themselves so they can start thinking about how can I create a better society in the future for myself and my children. The problem today is that many people are learned to be obedient, that they obey what they are told by authorities, and they need to stop obeying everything they're being told and think for themselves. And it's first then we can start changing things, I think. So we working to get a critical mass so we can get this change through.
Yeah, and it's difficult because, you know, there's so many levels of awakening and you've got to be kind of gentle with them. I mean, like I say, I want to throw a glass of water in their faces, but you've got to be gentle to some degree. But at the same time, we're running out of time. We've got a real situation of urgency here. We need people to wake up as quickly as possible. So it's a difficult situation. I mean, you're sort of caught between a rock and a hard place, trying to Yeah, be nice to these people and not completely freak them out, but at the same time, they need to stand up and get angry and pay attention very quickly.
Mm.
Right. Yeah, I feel that we need to get to a critical mass as well so that you can get support in your own community when you stand up to the authorities. But then, I don't know, like, what would the authorities do to people like us if we stood up too much? So you hear these different stories, and I don't know if they're true or not, if people are getting threatened or not, but we don't feel that we have ever been threatened by the authorities, other than that they might have made life difficult for Martin and those guys on the West Coast in Sweden and in Gothenburg when they try to set up meetings. But that's about it. And me personally, yeah, I've never really got into any. Yeah, go ahead.
You mean there can be... People can be really public in what they're doing, and I mean, I've never had a hard time from them either. And with everything that I do, you'd think that I would have, but I'm not that easy to find, really. I mean, they could probably find me through my IP address, but because I don't use credit cards, I don't have a smartphone, I don't do any of that stuff, I'm not that easy to find. And their surveillance system, it's not in place yet. They don't have tabs on everybody the way everyone thinks they do yet. And I think half of these reports you hear about people being targeted and people being taken down, they put this out there just to keep us freaked out, to think, oh, they're coming for us, and to stop people speaking out. They put all these cop shows on TV to show you all this mega surveillance system and all this forensics and all this stuff they can do, how they can get their man every time, just to make you think that they can do all this stuff, but they can't. You know? It's theater. It's just to keep you in check and keep you thinking that you better not step outside the lines because they'll get you. But they can't. I mean, I travel all around the world. They've got no idea. I mean, I'm very, very vocal. I'm in the face of the council. I'm in the face of people all the time. You know, I crawled in through Gaza, for God's sake. I crawled in the tunnels into Gaza Strip, and I faced off against Hamas. We got interrogated by Hamas. You know, I mean, nothing is the way you think that it is. I mean, and the system is not as all-powerful as you think it is. It's working to become that way, but it isn't yet. You know, so people should stand up. They should stand up now while they've got a chance, because pretty soon they won't have a chance. But right now they do. That's what I mean. Right. We've got a real opportunity for freedom now. If people would just grow a backbone and stand up for themselves and call this system out, we could free the world in a day. We really could, because it's not this all-powerful Leviathan at the moment. It's just working to become that way. You know, and it's just people's programming that they think it is, that they think everything is out to get them and everybody's against them and it's all powerful and they better not step outside the lines. I mean, there's billions of us. There's only a few thousand of them. So very, very easy for us to pull ourselves out of this mess.
Mm. Yeah.
Who do you think they are that are doing this to us?
Well, it's a criminal family. I mean, you could look at what's above the criminal family, but you've got to look at the whole global governance system. The whole worldwide government system is one big crime family. They all work together. They all meet in the UN. They all get together, and when they close the doors, they're just, you know, snorting coke and getting hookers and doing whatever it is that people do when they close the doors, you know? They're not doing all the stuff that people think they're doing. They're not, you know, being big diplomats and having these meetings and signing paper. No, they're just sitting around the table talking the way people do and making plans. Who's going to do what? Who's going to be the enemy? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Let's just bring the world into this one lockdown surveillance state all run by the Chinese system. That's what they're doing, and they're all working together to do it. That's what people have to understand. I mean, you can speculate whether it's the Jesuits or the Jews or the Masons or whether it's aliens or whatever. You can speculate all this stuff, get back into one of those rabbit holes and argue about it all you like. It's not going to change anything. And the ultimate reality is that nobody knows. Everybody who says they know, they don't. You know, nobody knows. I've been researching this for 40 or 50 years. I can suggest all sorts of things. And there's a real possibility that I'm right in some of the cases, but I can't prove any of it. I can't prove who they are to any degree at all, and you won't find until we've established freedom. And so if you really want to look at it that way, who they are is us, because we believe in our own slavery. We believe the system is real, and it isn't. It's just a matrix. It's just an idea, you know. So it all comes down to us. You know, there may be something's happened. Maybe the earth's been invaded. Maybe we're being strip mined by another race. Maybe whatever. Maybe. Who knows? What we do know is that we're not free, it's a prison, and that all of these governments work together, and we don't have to do what they tell us anymore. You know, they're actually our employees, and we've forgotten that. And we could stop, if we were to support each other and just stop supporting this system, we could change everything. You know, so that's the thing. And again, you know, it's just people wanting to get into these rabbit holes and argue about who to point a finger at, you know, and think that they know. And they don't. Nobody knows. I don't know. I've been researching this for years and I don't know. I suspect, but I don't know. And I'm not even going to put out there what I suspect, because then people will say, oh, well, he said this. And then they'll go out there and they'll argue about it. Oh, Max said this. No, I didn't. I didn't say anything. So, you know, that's the problem even in being this position. You put out your opinion and people take your opinion as gospel and say, well, he said this. And so you've got to be very, very careful what you even suggest to people. And this is why I do the radio shows in the format that I do. I'm basically just asking questions. I'm not making any statements. Very rarely do I make statements. I just ask questions because I want to encourage people to ask the right questions, because when you ask the right questions, the right answers will present themselves by default.
Mm. Yeah. Totally agreed. And, I also used to look at who's on top and who's deciding what, but I can't find out either. And I've been to forums, asked people, and they have all sorts of theories, if it's the Jesuits or the Jews or the Masons. And I don't know. I think it's very difficult to prove anything. It seems that they all collaborate at some level because they're not revealing it to the public in mainstream media. But yeah, I have no idea who's on top. And it seems to me that they're just running this world like you say. I totally agree with that.
It's one crime family. And they put all this stuff out there for us to point out. You know, if you can point at the Jesuits or the Jews or the Masons, then it's not them. Simple as that.
Yeah. I don't know. It could be. It could be a collaboration. I think it is, personally. But I can't prove it. And it also seems to me that, for instance, I don't know if we talk much about nuclear bombs, but we feel that nukes are a hoax. We feel that it's fake and everybody's in on it, including the North Koreans and Kim Jong-un. As the U.S. has nuclear bombed themselves 1,000 times in the Nevada desert near California, and nobody gets any radiation damages. So just that alone seems to be fake. And it's not like Kim Jong-un would show his nukes or rockets or ICBMs to the Western world and send it on his USB memory to CNN, you know? So, I would just like to remind the listeners to this fact that, we totally agree with you that, everybody collaborates at all levels and they try to scare you with nuclear wars and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, I don't know whether nukes are real or not. I have questioned that one myself, you know. I mean, I'm totally on the fence with it because, you know, I see so much evidence that they're fake, but then I wonder about things like the sack of Tartaria. Like I've been looking at ancient history a lot lately, or the fact that our history is different, it's wrong. I look at things like the Karst Lakes throughout Russia, and I wonder what caused the Karst Lakes, whether they were the result of nuclear or atomic explosions. But but then I got to question nukes. I don't particularly believe they're real, but then I got to look at these Karst Lakes. So I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting question. I mean, I don't think there'll ever be a nuclear war. Even if they are real, I don't think there'll ever be a nuclear war, because nuclear war destroys all business, and the world is run by business. Nuclear war doesn't solve anything, doesn't heal anything, doesn't benefit anything. However, the threat of nuclear war, this is a huge benefit to government. So, I'm totally with you on the whole fake nuke thing. I really, really do question this. But, again, I have to look at these Karst Lakes. I've been really looking at ancient history a lot lately, and Tartaria and Atlantis and what really happened, the fact that our history is wrong. It's as recently as a couple of hundred years ago, things were very, very different on the Earth. I've come to the conclusion that pretty well everything older than about 100 years is pretty well fabricated. 150 to 200 years, it's pretty well everything before that has been fabricated. Our history, even up to about 200 years ago, is probably about 25% correct than what we're told. And prior to that, it's a complete fabrication. So anything is possible. Anything is possible.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's also, when it comes to the nukes, it's not possible to prove that something does not exist. So you can only look at I don't know, evidence or something that, I mean, points you into the right direction. But, obviously we're not saying that we can prove that something does not exist, but because philosophically you can't. It's just that, there are so many things about nukes that makes absolutely no sense. And I personally also agree with you when it comes to history. I have no idea about what happened more than 100 years ago, and I think that probably at least 75% is fabricated, maybe more. We can only speculate. I think that the history writers, they probably have the truth or a big part of the truth. They may not know it all themselves, but yeah, we have to. It's like you're saying, we have to establish freedom to get to know it ourselves and to spread it amongst the public. But until we get that freedom, we can only be guessing, basically.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a hard thing because freedom, it would be such a simple thing to do. Everyone has to just stop. Just stop what they're doing. Stop working these jobs. Stop supporting this system and start supporting each other. Yeah, and literally, we could literally free the world in a day. But people, it's so alien to them to even think that way. You know, people can't imagine what they would do without government. They can't imagine what they would do without money. It's just this weird programming that's been put in their minds. You know, you can go find a culture that lives on an island, a tribal culture, that's never heard of money. And you go and get into that society, introduce a system of money, a system of trade to them. And within a generation, they won't know how to function without it. They won't ever understand how you could live without money. It's a weird, weird program that gets into people's minds. And that's the problem, you know. People, it's better the devil you know for them, you know. They're just stuck in this situation that they hate, but they don't know how to change it because they're too scared of stepping outside the box. They're too scared of connecting with the people around them. You know, what would the neighbors think? You know, if I was to go and talk to them or make a cake for them or to go and try to get to know them. You know, will they come and steal from me? Will they this? Will they? And everyone thinks the same way. Everyone's living in these little boxes and in fear of everybody around them. You know, because they're programmed to be that way. It's such a terrible situation. It's a paradox because it's so easy to free ourselves in this situation if people could just, you know, pull the blinkers off their eyes and just walk outside, open their eyes and take a deep breath. I mean, and it's really that simple. You know, just pull the blinkers off. Just sigh. Go outside. Put it all down. Go outside and go, it's a world. There's a world here. There's people here. We seem to have forgotten that. It's like everyone's locked into their own little mind matrix. It's a weird, weird situation that we're in. And the way to freedom is so simple that people can't see it because it is so ridiculously simple. That people can't see. They think there must be a revolution or a battle or arms or people have to die or whatever. They can't see the forest for the trees. It's so ridiculously simple that they just can't see it. That's the way it is. It's a weird thing. It's a strange situation we've got ourselves in. Very, very paradoxical.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, even a child, like you said, or a 12-year-old could understand what we're saying, especially if they were grown up in a society that showed kids from a young age what we know, what we have seen, then it would be super easy. And I've even talked to people that are like 17, 18, 19 years old that have basically no education, and they're buying into what I'm saying because they haven't really watched the news that much. They haven't really been educated in school that much. But if I was to take a so-called educated person with a master's degree in any subject you like, that were grown up in a safe neighborhood, then they would never believe anything that we're saying. It would be so difficult for them to understand, and they might have a great salary job or a so-called great salary job, making loads of money, and they just don't get it. And that amazes me how deep the brainwashing goes into the average person, so to speak.
That's the education system and peer group pressure and everything does. I mean, I was awake when I was four. You know, when I found out we had to buy land, when I was 4 years old, when my mother told me we couldn't come and live in the forest because we didn't own the land, I freaked out. I just thought I'd been born into the wrong world. I couldn't understand why people would do any of the stuff they were doing. And we used to see ads on the television about all the starving people in Ethiopia, and I'd say, but Mum, why are they starving? we've got all the food in the supermarket shelves. At the end of the day, the supermarkets are still full. We didn't eat all that food. Why is it there? Why hasn't it been shipped over to feed these people over here? Why is anyone starving? There's just food everywhere. Mm-hmm. Why is anyone starving? I couldn't understand any of it. Why do we have to buy land? Well, we've got to go and work. Was Dad not here because he's got to work to collect money so we can live here? Well, what's that all about? Why can't we just live here? This is the world. Why do we need to pay to be alive? I could never understand it. When I was four, I had a terrible childhood. And nothing that we did made any sense. I thought I was born into an insane asylum. You know, so kids can see it. Kids can see what's going on. It's just that we're programmed to think the world has to be this way. And that's what all the education's about, to teach you that this is just the way it is. This is the way it is. And just accept it because it's the way it is. That's what the education system is for. But when you're a kid, you can see it and you go, no, this is all messed up.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that because actually African kids was what woke me up as well when I was about 14. We were supposed to collect money and give away to African kids. And I started thinking about it. I started thinking how crazy it is that supposedly the government, the Swedish government, is giving away billions and billions of Swedish crowns every single year along with a bunch of other nations that does the same thing. And I was thinking to myself, how can anybody be starving? Just like you were thinking as a kid. That's actually how I got into this whole thing. So I can totally relate to that. And I asked the teachers at school, do you not track the money? Do you not keep receipts? Do you not make sure that you have receipts from all the different countries and all the different organizations that have given away money so that you know for a fact that the money goes through? And they told me no. And I was shocked. I was like, how could the teacher tell me no? How could they tell me that they're not tracking the money that's supposed to go to these poor people so that they can live? That was just amazing to me. That's how I woke up out of this when I was 14, 15 years old. That was the first thing that I realized. It's totally messed up.
It was like that when I was four. I had a terrible childhood. I got kicked out of all my schools for arguing with my teachers. By the time I was 17, I'd been kicked out of four different high schools. And so I just became a musician and lived on the outside of society and tried to figure out why the world was such a mess. Yeah, which was really interesting how I sort of fell into a livelihood whereby I was able to do that. I was able to, work 8 to 10 hours a week, make more money than most people were making in their regular jobs and still have all this free time to research all the stuff I wanted to research. And I got to travel around in my job as well. So I got to go to all these exotic places and check out all these exotic sites and all this sort of stuff I wanted to find out about. And then my life kind of put me in that position where I could get all that information. And then once I had all the information, it took everything away from me and propelled me onto this path of activism. It's really weird the way it's all worked out. But my life has kind of just flowed that way because I woke up so early, I think. And it's a good thing for people to see it. I think a lot of kids can. I think that's what all the vaccination programs are all about as well. I think a lot of kids are being born really active these days. You know, the whole concept of the indigo children and all this sort of stuff. A lot of kids are really, really bright, really intelligent. That's why they're getting like 35 vaccines by the time they're 5 or whatever, just to keep them dumbed down, keep them stupid. The human race is being changed, genetically altered, wiped out, and totally manipulated. Western society is set to disappear in its current form. And we'll all move over to the Chinese system, all merged into one race of Goyim, all bred together with what's happening in Europe, which is happening in all countries. Multiculturalism is about merging the races together. This is happening all over the world. So we're heading for a pretty wild future, but like I said, I think a lot of people are waking up and seeing it. I mean, the governments are doing this out of desperation. You've got to understand, these people, they're scared of being caught out. They're scared of being found out, and they are being found out and caught out, which is why all the censorship is coming, all this sort of stuff. I'm fully expecting a lot of YouTube channels to be disappearing within the next year or so. Information is going to be very, very hard to get for people. Because they didn't pay attention at the same time. This is something else I've been saying to people, is that all that stuff you're researching, you're not going to be able to research it in another 12 months or so because you're not paying attention to what's going on in the world now. You need to stop all of this surveillance and stop this government's doing what they're doing and every country needs to do it through mass actions of non-compliance. That's really the only way we're going to stop it, through non-compliance.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Chinese surveillance system? How does it work?
Well, the Chinese social credit system, they've got cameras. They've got millions and millions of cameras that track you in real time with everything you do. They can get you jaywalking across the street. If you jaywalk across the street, go against a no-walk sign, they'll take a photograph of you and they'll display it on a local bus shelter to shame you to all the local people. And you lose social credit points. And if you lose certain social credit points, then you can't access certain items. You can't access certain services. Or you may not be able to access buy plane tickets or buy high-tier train tickets because you've lost certain social credit points because you've said things the government doesn't like or you've done things the government doesn't like. So you get locked out of things like train services, flight services, and house rentals. You can't rent a house if you have bad social credit rating. So you get ostracized. You get basically pushed into the criminal system without even knowing it, simply because you're down on social credit points. And they can do it in real time, track you in real time. And once you've got surveillance on your phones and your phones are listening to you and they'll be listening to keywords and algorithms will be doing it, this is the way we're all going. And when you get to a point where your phone is listening to you, your toaster is listening to you, your smart radio, your smart clock, your smart TV, you're under surveillance the whole time in your home. Everything that you're saying is being recorded and said, and the algorithm picks up on keywords in the conversations that you have, and you find yourself limited in social credit points. You go to the supermarket and suddenly there's things that you can't buy, things you're not qualified to have, services you're not qualified to have because you're down on social credit points.
Mm.
And so you get squeezed out. You become an undesirable. You get pushed into the smart prison system, simply because you're thinking outside the box. This is the way it's going. It's going to limit every single aspect of human life. And this is what they're rolling out in China now. And a lot of the people in China actually like it. They think it's great. It's going to keep them safe. That's how programmed the people in China are. And that's what they're doing to all of our governments and all of our countries. And this is coming now with Apple has now introduced a trust score on your device, on your Apple device. Not for you, mind you, but for your device, depending on what your device has been doing. But, of course, it's you who controls the device. So now your device gets a trust score. So soon that will be you who gets the trust score.
Mm.
And this is all coming about simply because people use their devices for everything. You use your device to sign into places. You use your device to do your banking, to do your shopping, to do this, to do that. I don't use it. I don't own a smartphone. I use cash everywhere I go. I don't use credit cards. I don't use a smartphone. If people stopped using these devices, they couldn't roll this system out. That's the thing. But people are hooked up on their devices. They're addicted to their devices. The dopamine they get every time they click an icon. You know, it's dopamine addiction that gets people locked into this technology. It's been very clever how they've done it and pushed people into it, but it's basically dopamine addiction that we're seeing. That's why everyone's locked into their smartphones all the time, because they're addicted to that dopamine release every time they click an icon, every time a little event happens on their screen. It activates the pleasure centers in their body, so they get addicted to it. And I don't realize that it's an addiction, but it is.
Yeah. We need to take a short break now, so we'll be back in a few minutes.
Well, I could ask about your videos. How do you make your videos? Because I'd like to be inspired myself how to make a video with animations and stuff. Where do you find them?
Well, a lot of the stuff, like the intros I create in After Effects, and all the animations are stuff that I make myself. Some of them are just motion graphics that you can find online. There's people like George Redhawk who does amazing motion graphics. You can get programs as well like Morpheus, just GIF makers that you can use to morph pictures and add animation to pictures. But I do a lot of stuff in After Effects. I do a little bit in Lightwave. And also you can go to video blocks sites and you can just download 30-second video clips that you can use that are public access clips that anyone can do to make films with. So this is just stock footage. So I use a fair bit of stock footage. I make all my intros in After Effects, Adobe After Effects. And light wave and particle illusion. And yeah, I mean, I've got a fair library of stuff now. I mean, I've been making videos on YouTube for 10 years. I've been making videos and films for about 12 years now. And every time I make one, I keep everything that I made for it. So I've got a pretty substantial library now. I've got a hard drive of animations of about 30 seconds long, anywhere from 10 to 30 seconds of all sorts of stuff that I can kind of delve into and just string them together to make the clip that I want. I'm pretty quick at it now. I mean, I've been doing video editing for 10 years for the radio show. So I'm pretty quick at it now. But that's mainly how I do it. But you'll get a lot of stock footage. You go to sites like Video Blocks or Video Hive and you'll find that you can get a lot of stock footage. You've got to pay for it. But you can get sign up to the site for a monthly subscription. You can get a lot of stock footage for free. And you can make a lot of good effects in After Effects.
Yeah. Mm. Have you seen any increases in the amount of viewers that you have on YouTube, or what increases have you seen over the last 10 or 12 years?
Look, it was really, really slow for 10 years. And then about a year ago, the channel really took off. It went from like 29,000 subscribers to 120,000 subscribers in about 12 months, which was remarkable. Like around about 100,000 subscribers in 12 months. And it took me 10 years to get to that point, though. So I don't know what it was. I mean, I started talking about 5G and all that sort of stuff, and a lot of people started paying attention to that. But there's been a real attempt to limit my channel as well, because, I mean, people sometimes – I mean, I got one woman posted she had to subscribe 14 times in one day before the subscription would hold on my channel. So there's a lot of effort to keep people away from it. Even when people do subscribe, the videos don't show up in their feed. They'll come back to the channel again. They'll find that their subscription has been deleted. They've got to resubscribe. Sometimes if they don't like a video, they'll come back to the video. They'll find that YouTube has disliked the video for them. So, you know, there's been a lot of effort to push the channel back and to keep it back, but it's really taken off in the last year. So even with that, I think there's still an effort to keep it back. So I wonder what the subscription should be. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it should have 1 million subscribers, because it's been there for 10 years. And, you know, there's been a lot of good information on the channel. And people come to it and they go, oh my God, I can't believe I just found this channel. And why haven't you got 1 million subscribers? And it's because YouTube pushes it back and holds it back. But it really has taken off in the last year and it's continuing to grow. But even with that, I mean, they do limit it. They limit my video count. They hold it back. I mean, I know they do. So I don't trust the figures. I don't really go by the figures at all anymore. Even with the comments and the likes and the dislikes, I don't trust any of it anymore. But it's really taken off in the last year, which has been good. A lot of people are waking up. I mean, and that's what it's all about. Another thing, the reason they've held it back, I think, is because I've never partnered. I've never monetized the account. And the accounts that they monetize will get pushed forward because they can do advertising on those accounts. But it also, puts you liable to be hit for copyright and a lot easier for them to close you down when you're partnered, because you can breach a lot more of their regulations when there's people advertising on your clips. You won't find any advertising on my clips because I've never partnered, I've never monetized. And so you can't get companies complaining about the content that their advertising is on content they don't approve of because there's no advertising on my clips. So it's a lot harder for them to close me down that way. So.
Mm.
Right.
On my mind also, I've been thinking a lot lately about the collapse of the modern society, since we are getting to a point where we are dependent on very highly advanced technology, and the risk of some deal of the grid are closing down, like the electrical grid. It doesn't take very long before we are all very helpless, and you have riots on the streets and people killing each other. But how do you think, do you think that kind of scenario is likely, or how do you think we can get out of it or avoid it?
Look, the only way we can avoid it is by growing gardens and by making ourselves as sustainable as possible. This is something I've been suggesting for 10 years, that people put in community gardens, because we're being set up. And even when you, you look at the way they're removing libraries, removing information, digitizing all the books, so that we won't have access to any of this information. If they close the power down, if we lose access to the internet, we've lost access to all of our knowledge. You know, you think about things as such as the great book burnings they talk about in the past. Well, that's kind of what they're doing with all of our knowledge now. They're burning it. They're turning it all into digital, and then they can remove your access to it. Even with the social credit system. You know, if you're down on social credit points and you want to go and read a book by Carl Jung or Alexander Solzhenitsyn, you may not be qualified to read that book. You may not have enough social credit points to purchase that book. And even Amazon will decide which books it wants to publish when it's all digital. It can decide whether you can publish your book and whether other people can see it or not. You know, and even when the readers come out, you know, the first reader that came out, they called it Kindle, the Kindle reader, and now it's Amazon Fire. Yeah, so they're burning the books. They're telling you, we kindle the fire and you fire the books, burn them all. They're burning the knowledge. They're burning all the knowledge, making it all digital. Everybody's life skills, everything. No one can do anything anymore. Look what they've done with the education system. What apprenticeships and trades are all about. You can become a tradesman, become a plumber or a carpenter or a mechanic or this or that. Don't learn how to do everything. Just learn how to do one thing and then learn how to do one aspect of one thing. You may be a good mechanic, but you don't know how to build a car. You know, you may be a great carpenter, but you don't know how to mill the wood. You know, you may be a great miller, but you don't know how to build anything with it. You may be a great metal worker, but you don't know how to make the metal and smelt the metal and dig the metal. So they've done this with everybody. They've taken everybody's life skills away. They've turned everybody into mono-skilled people. And now they're removing all the knowledge and digitizing it all. We're being set up. If people can't see that we're being set up, we are. And we're in a situation now that all they've got to do is turn the power off and we're screwed, basically. If they were to turn the power off now, within a month, society would eat itself. And that's no joke. They would literally eat each other because that's all they would have left to eat because nobody has paid attention to their lives and we've allowed ourselves to be backed into a corner. And this is what I've been saying for 10 years. Put in community gardens. Get to know your neighbors. Build strong support groups in your community because you're going to need them because you all want to stand together in the face of what is coming. Yeah. And that's really the only way out. If people don't do it, well, then they're just allowing themselves to be set up and their fate will be their own fate that they created, unfortunately.
Yeah. Here in Sweden, I remember as young, that we learned that the United Nations is a really great association that will bring peace to all the world and so on. But now when you read about it, about Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, which Sweden are very far ahead on implementing here, and if you read what it's really about, it's really scary reading. They want all people to move into cities and to be dependent on the system and so on. So,
well, they're doing that in China now as well. Like the ghost cities in China. You heard of the ghost cities they've got there? Hundreds of cities, dozens of cities, and they're living in them. Now they're moving people out of the country and into the ghost cities to occupy the ghost cities. Moving all the farmers out, all these people saying, they're doing it saying we want to end poverty. It's a war on poverty in China. We want to lift everybody up out of poverty and make sure everybody is cool, everybody's set up and everybody's looked after. Sounds great. Sounds really positive. They also tell you they want everybody set up in the social crediting system by 2020. So it's the same thing. They're just bringing everybody out of the country and putting them into situations where they can be under surveillance. That's what the whole smart cities are about, what all the ghost cities are about, and what this whole lifting people up out of poverty is all about. And that's the same thing, Agenda 21. That's what they're doing here in all of our countries through bushfires or whatever, making it dangerous to be in the country. You don't want to be out there. You want to be in pardon here. You want to be in the grid, you know. So it's all about surveillance. It's all about control. That's the way we're heading, and we're all being set up. And the UN, what a disgusting organization. What an absolutely disgraceful organization. And they present it as something that's going to bring world peace. We've had more conflicts since the creation of the UN than what we had in Earth's entire recorded history up to that point. So that should be a bit of a sign. We had something like 168 conflicts since they started the UN to end all wars. So, yeah, that should be a sign for people.
That's a great argument.
Yeah, it's really working, isn't it, the UN? It's really, really working to end conflict, isn't it? Just look at the world.
Yeah, they're very good at creating conflict, I must admit. And also about the whole thing about moving people to cities and making them dependent. And like you said, they're very good at making people mono-skilled. They only know one thing at the most, or a part of one thing at the most. That's very tough to combat. Unless you educate yourselves and look into numerous things and know how to, I don't know, do a bunch of different stuff for survival. But I must admit myself that I'm not very good at survival either. If they were to turn off the grid, what would I do? I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, but it's been set up that way. It's not your fault that you don't know. But being aware of that is half the problem. You go, hang on, I don't know. So maybe I should. Maybe mm-hmm. I should go out and get some skills. Maybe I should develop some of these skills. You know, some of these old books you used to get, like Survival into the 21st Century, books like that, which would teach you basic life skills of everything. Things like that. Just get some books like this and go into the forest and go camping for a couple of weeks and do it. Go camping with a couple of tools, just take a couple of tools with you and go there and go, okay, I'm going to go and build a shelter. I'm going to survive for a week on my own out here in the forest and see if I can do it. Take some supplies with you in case you get stuck and, you know, in case you really get desperate and you need some backup. But try to do it without it. Try to go out there and just see how you would go building yourself a little shelter, catching your food, you know, doing whatever you have to do to survive and see whether you can do it. Just develop those skills. It's an interesting thing to do. And, you know, we can all do it. It's fun. It's good to do.
Yeah. Very good idea, actually. I should get some friends together.
Yeah, have a grab bag, too. At least have a bag so you can just grab your bag and you can walk out and you know you're good. You know?
Right.
I mean, I could do that. I've got a grab bag. If it all came to worst, I could grab my bag, I could just walk out of this place, walk out into the hills, and I'd survive because I know how to do it. You know, so if you haven't got those skills, I mean, and these are good skills to have. And if you're a parent, I mean, your kids are going to love to learn this sort of stuff. Go out camping with your kids, teach them how to life skills and get, you know, building a lean-to and a tent. Little boys, and they love this sort of stuff. So why not teach your kids these basic skills? And if you teach them when they're a kid, I mean, they will remember that when they get older, and they will carry that with them their whole life, and they'll may need it one day, and they'll be very thankful that you taught it to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Very true.
Yeah, it's really good skills to have, but you also have to need to know how to grow your own food and store it during winter time and put new seeds in the dirt and so, I've been trying that kind of thing in a project here in Sweden, and it's not very easy to grow your own food. At least not when you're living in a city and you're growing something outside the city.
Well, that's why they move everyone into cities. That's why they've created cities, I would say, because you can't look after yourself in a city. You're dependent upon the system in a city. It should be more like a Vedic culture, you know. And I think that's the way it was across Europe. It was more Vedic, more clans, more communities, supportive of each other. I think that's the way it probably was throughout history until something happened, which whatever happened that changed it. I've really been looking into ancient history a lot lately and Tartaria and the lost civilizations that have been around, and there's every indication that we were living in a relatively peaceful culture, a worldwide culture, up until pretty recently. So this whole feudal mentality, it's a recent addition to the human consciousness, to the human experience, and I think we can get out of it if we could just, you know, get some focus. I think we're too far from what we should be that it's impossible for us to get back, you know. A lot of it is a mental prison that we're caught in. It's just this belief that we need this system to be here. So, you know, there is hope for us, but yeah, I mean, we're in a pretty tricky situation. Doing community gardens and trying to connect with the people around you now, I think is one of the most important things people can do. just get out there, get amongst it, get out there amongst your community, get to know people, start talking to people. Even if you can't bring them, truth in as much as, you know, political stuff and all the situation that we're in, at least you can get out there and lead by example, provide something positive in their lives, maybe get involved in a community garden, become friends with people, and then you can start discussing political views and things. They may listen to you once they get to know you a little bit. And we get out there and we start waving banners and megaphones and shouting danger in the face of everybody, and they run away and hide. Because we haven't got to know them first. But, you know, we live in societies where people are locked down. They're scared of the people around them, but they're all basically reaching out as well. I mean, people want friends. They want someone to depend on. They want someone they can trust. They just want to belong, a lot of people, you know, and they don't. Our society has taught this, we only really belong to our own family and our own circle of friends, not to the greater community. So, get out there and get amongst it. That will make a difference. Lead by example in what you do. That's the way out of this whole mess. But if people aren't going to do that, if people are just going to sit there and point the finger at the system and be scared of what's coming, then it's just going to continue coming. You got to get out there and get involved. I do that as much as I can around the community here.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of people that you can talk to in the society that you live in about these things without them necessarily getting angry with you or upset or thinking that you're a conspiracy theorist or any of this stuff?
Well, I kind of attract the right people, I think. So, yeah, I mean, I do. Some people think that, but I'm very sort of gentle with people that are totally in the matrix. I'll just, you know, ask questions and get them to question things in the right way. And then maybe you go to a council meeting and they'll see me at the meeting and they'll hear what I say to the politicians, and that may inspire them in that way. But, you know, I only give people what they can handle. I won't turn a flood hose on and you know, shower them in information. I'll just, you know, you can judge people. Just have a little bit of a conversation to them. A lot of people are pretty closed off. A lot of them are pretty set in their ways. You can tell by the way they respond. Straight away, you'll make a statement or ask a question to them, and they'll give you a very rigid answer. So you think, okay, well, this person's totally locked into the matrix. So you have to gently crack that shell a little bit by just being a good person around them and getting them to come and talk to you and ask you questions and actually turn it into a normal conversation about something completely irrelevant. And once you've had a normal conversation with them, then you'll find that they'll probably listen to your views a little more. So it's just getting to know people and working with people. I'm very good with people, you know, probably from being a musician and you know, growing up in pubs and living in that life, you know, I've dealt with a lot of different people from a lot of different walks of life my whole life. And, I've managed to be able to always talk to them on their level, no matter what part of society they're from. So, you kind of got to read people and realize that everyone's closed off. Everyone's basically locked into their ego. Everyone wants to be right. Everyone wants to exert themselves in the initial meeting that you're having with them. Everyone wants to show you what they are and stand their ground, and they have this image of themselves that they want to present to the world. So you've got to let them do that. You know, and then once they've done that, the facade will break down a little bit and you can actually get to the real person underneath and you can start having real conversations with them. So, you know, it works. It works if you can be diplomatic about it in that respect and just treat people in like cash and realize that everybody is going to have their own view and want to, you know, exert their own power. Like I said, you know, you can just let them do that and you can crack that shell and you can have a real conversation with them. You'll find that most people will get it. Most people know that there's something terribly wrong. They just don't want to really notice it. They don't really want to talk about it, you know. They're sort of walking around, peering out of their eyes, wondering if anyone thinks the way they do, but they're too scared to say anything about it. You'd be surprised at the amount of people that know the system is terribly wrong. So yeah. It's just in that shell, you know.
Yeah. I try to do the same thing, and I think I'm fairly spoiled with my friends and family that they will actually listen to me quite a bit. And but I also try to do I try to use people's skills. I try to take it easy, and I try to not shower them with a whole bunch of information. I try to just go, I don't know, step by step. Cool, calm, and collected, and just keep tapping away like that until they get it. And it works, actually.
Lead by example. Lead by example in what you do. So, let's say you're a paranoid conspiracy nut. You know, hey, this guy's actually a good person and he thinks this way, so maybe I should pay attention to what he's saying, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, since we're both recording this, I can say that if you have any Swedish listeners on your channel, our channel is Radio Cui Bono, and we are on Spreaker, and you can also find us on our homepage, that is www.foreningencuibono.se. So there you can find our radio shows if you have any Swedish listeners. And you can tell us about your work and where our listeners can find your work. If they can see you,
Yeah, you'll find all of my stuff on thecrowhouse.com. It's my website. And I've got a YouTube channel called The Crow House as well. But you'll find links to it all on thecrowhouse.com. I'm also on Steemit. I'm on Gab. They closed down the other day. And I'm also on Twitter, but I hardly ever use it. Twitter and LinkedIn. I just never go there, though. But you'll find everything on thecrowhouse.com. Everything about me, so please go and share it. There's nothing to subscribe to on that website. It's all free. There's no subscriber section. There's over 2,000 pages, I think, on that website now. There's so much information there. It's like a 10-year-old website, so there's a lot going on there, a lot of stuff to share. And please do go and check it out, thecrowhouse.com.
Yeah. Okay. Then we thank you for participating in our podcast, and have a good morning where you are, and a good night where we are in.
Yeah, you guys have a good evening, and I will get on with my day. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning here now, so
yeah,
got up early for this one, which was good. I get up early anyway. But now, thanks for having me on, guys, and thanks for wanting to make a difference. Thanks for doing the podcast, and it's good to have voices in all countries, and it's great to know that Sweden's got a voice. So
yeah.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. My pleasure.
Okay.
My pleasure, guys. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Good night.